discover the tips and strategies that will help you achieve your retirement goals. I'm your host, James Knoll, and this is the podcast dedicated to helping you retire well. It all starts right here on Ready for Retirement. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Ready for Retirement. I'm your host, James Knoll. Today's episode is going to be all about the 60/40 portfolio and specifically what return can you expect from it going forward. Today's episode was from a listener question, so thank you very much for submitting your questions. If you have a question that you'd like to submit, be sure to check out the readyforretirement.co webpage where you can submit your question that I will answer on a future episode. So today's question comes from a listener and it's this. It goes, "Hi James, I'm a new listener to the podcast and I have a question. Given the state of bonds, what is a reasonable expected return on a 60/40 portfolio? I'm thinking 5%. End question. So this is a question I think is on a lot of people's minds, whether it's a 60/40 portfolio or any portfolio for that matter. With what's happening in the bond market, what does that mean for forward-looking returns? As investors, how should we react to that? Well, let's take a look. Let's start with some context. Let's start by looking at this historically. Let's take a look out towards the future. And then let's take a look at what really matters in this. So be sure to tune into the end or stay until the end because I want to help you reframe the way you even look at the 60/40 portfolio to start with. So if we go way, way, way back, all the way to 1926, and if we just want to understand what has the return of this portfolio been since then, that's going to be a very helpful starting point. As we start to understand or start to unpack what might that look like going forward. So since January 1st of 1926, all the way through December 31st of 2021, the annualized return of a 60% US stock and 40% US bond portfolio has been 8.8%. That's a pretty strong return. Now, if we look at some of the individual components, the S&P 500 since that time, which is the component that's a proxy for the stock portion of the 60/40 portfolio in that 8.8% number that is referenced, the S&P 500's return since that point through the end of 2021 has been 10.5%. If you look at the return on long-term government bonds since that point, its return or their returns have been about 5.6%. So with a 60/40 portfolio, you essentially have the weighted average of those two long-term returns. Now, here's why, in addition just to strong returns historically, 8.8% is absolutely nothing to scoff at for a 60/40 portfolio. Here's the other reason that people really like it. If you look at, and this is since 1976, this is a study from Vanguard. If you just look at months or rolling time periods in which both stocks and bonds were negative, it doesn't happen all that frequently. If you look at any of the months since 1976, only about 15% of all months are both stocks and bonds negative in the same month. If you look at rolling six-month time periods since that time frame, only 3.6% of the time are both stocks and bonds negative. Now, coming off the first 6 months of 2022, we just experienced one of those times, but over the last 45 plus years, it only happens 3.6% of the time. Now, if you look at a full 12 months, a full year, only 0.4% of the time are both stocks and bonds negative in the same year. That's a very, very low number, less than 1%, less than half of 1%. That's how frequently both stocks and bonds are negative in the same year. And if you go towards 3 years, or if you expand that to rolling 3 year time periods, there's never been an instance, at least since 1976, when we have some of the measurements that we can use to measure both stocks and bond returns, there's never been a rolling 3 year time period where both stocks and bonds have been negative. That's why this type of a portfolio is so attractive. Now, if you actually look at the 60/40 portfolio over that same time period, only about 13.6% of the time has it been negative over the course of 1 year. Now, if you remember what I said just a few moments ago, only 0.4% of the time do both stocks and bonds have negative returns over the course of the year. But stocks are much more volatile. Stocks represent a greater portion of the 60/40 portfolio. So therefore, stocks are going to represent more of kind of the reason behind a positive or negative return. But 13.6% of the time, a 60/40 portfolio has been negative over a year since 1976. 6.5% of the time has it been negative over a rolling 3 year time period. And only 0.6% of the time has it had a negative return over 5 years. This is why people like the 60/40 portfolio. It's had a strong return over the last almost 100 years, and the amount of time or the length of time that it could potentially have a negative experience is relatively short when compared to an all-stock portfolio, at least. So that's just some context for this conversation that we're now going to have, because now people's concern is, well, what does this look like going forward? That's great, James, to know how this is done since 1926, but we're not investing in 1926 until today. We're investing now going forward. What's the issue, or what do we do now? Well, here's the problem we all face as investors. Every single one of us. We're human. And as humans, we have these biases. And as humans, we have these emotional systems that overtake our minds and sometimes don't allow us to zoom out and see things in proper perspective. And one of those biases that we have, biases, is the recency bias, meaning we overweight recent trends in our attempt to predict what the future holds. So as we're looking towards the future, what's on top of all of our minds right now? Well, stocks have been hammered to start this year. Bonds, too, have been hammered, have the worst start to the year that they've ever had, as of this recording at least. So therefore, our brains say that must continue going forward, or maybe not to the same extent, but at least it's not going to be good going forward. Well, let's take a look at this. Bonds have gone hit hard this year. But why is that? Well, rates have gone up. What does rates going up mean? Well, it means higher expected returns for bonds going forward. As of today, as of this recording, 10-year yield on the U.S. Treasury is 2.68%. 1 year ago today, the 10-year yield on the U.S. Treasury was 1.26%. So as we look at that, that's a huge jump to go from 1.26% as the interest rate on a 10-year U.S. Treasury versus today now at 2.68%. That's a very significant movement. Bond prices, they move inversely to interest rates. If interest rates go up, bond prices go down. If interest rates go down, bond prices go up. And that just makes sense. Let's say you're holding a bond that pays 5% interest. And then a year from today, interest rates as a whole have gone down. Well, your bond is a lot more attractive now. If it's paying 5%, and now let's say the market rate is 4%. So what happens is the value of your bond appreciates because now that bond is more attractive to other investors. So that's why bond prices move inversely to interest rate. So 1 year ago, people were feeling more confident in bonds. And really, that's a way of saying they were feeling more confident in maybe the level of inflation. They were feeling more confident in the economy. Whatever it was, people were willing to accept a lower rate of return on their borrowing if they were to purchase a bond a year ago than they are today. Now, what presents a greater long-term return, all else being equal? Holding a bond with yields at 1.26% like they were a year ago today, or holding a bond at 2.68% like they are at least as of this recording? Well, all else being equal, as a bondholder, you would much prefer to hold that bond at 2.68%. It's going to pay more than double the interest that you were receiving a year ago. But like I said, we're all human. We have recency bias. We've seen what's happened. And in the midst of things going wrong, it's hard to zoom out and it's hard to imagine things going right. It's hard to imagine things going a whole lot better. And part of this is natural. We just are in a period of very low interest rates. So if interest rates rise sharply, that's not good news for bond investors. But as rates go up, it is painful in the moment. It hurts your returns in the moment, but your forward-looking returns do improve. That rate of return is now something that you can collect for a longer period of time with that higher interest rate. So what return can we expect from here? Unsurprisingly, it's impossible to predict the future. So unsurprisingly, my answer is going to be we don't know for certain. It's impossible to predict with absolute certainty what it's going to be. However, if we just look at some basic things to get a basic understanding, we can maybe start to get at least a general sense. I'm going to highlight one study. Vanguard has something called the Vanguard Capital Markets Model. Now, what the Vanguard Capital Markets Model does is it runs 10,000 different simulations for each of the modeled asset classes, and then it generates a return outcome for an unexpected return going forward. And going forward, the Vanguard Capital Markets Model projects a long-term average return to be around 7% for the 60/40 portfolio. So what does that mean? Does that mean you're going to get exactly 7% over the next 10, 20, 30 years? Absolutely not. It's just one model's attempt with 10,000 different simulations that Vanguard ran to try to get a sense of where could things go moving forward. Now, let's take a look at some more perspective. During the 3 years from 2019 to 2021, so that's 2019, 2020, and 2021, the full 3 year time period, a 60/40 portfolio delivered an annualized return of about 14.3%. So far in 2020, as of this recording, the 60-40 portfolio has lost about 12%, which is prompting questions like, well, what on earth is that going to be going forward? The 60-40 portfolio is dead. This just isn't going to do much. Well, zoom out a little bit. If you take that negative 12% that we've experienced so far and you tack it on to 2019 to 2021, so now look at a 2019 until today rate of return, that would bring the four-year annualized return to almost exactly 7%, right back in line with the expectation, at least from Vanguard's model, moving forward. So in fact, a lot of what we're actually seeing today is very normal if you zoom out. If you look at the last 10 years, returns are still amazingly high. If you look at the last 4 to 5 years, returns are still amazingly high. It's just when we go through times like we're going through right now, we have this tendency to extrapolate that out going forward and for that negativity to continue. Will it? Potentially, but what we've seen in the past is these market downturns are relatively short to even medium lived, whereas the advances, those can go on for long periods of time. And when you zoom way out, there's only one direction the asset prices have moved as a whole, and that's up and to the right. So part of this, and this is a little bit of a tangent, but try to not just look at what's happened in the last 5-6 months. When we're in the midst of it and saying, oh my gosh, inflation, or oh my gosh, recession, or oh my gosh, how can things possibly get better? That would have been the same thing you were feeling probably in February or March of 2020. That probably would have been the same thing you were feeling during the stock market downturn of 2008. That was probably the same thing you would have been feeling at the turn of the millennium from 2000 to 2002. We never know in the moment how are we going to get out of this, but we always have. So as you zoom out a little bit, recognize that the things that we're in the midst of today aren't necessarily going to shape the forward-looking returns indefinitely. So back to the question, what can we expect from a 60-40 portfolio going forward? Surely they can't be as high, or surely it can't be as high. Well, for one, I've been hearing that for the last 10 years. Forward-looking returns can't be as high, and then they've continued to be incredible. So just because you're hearing that everywhere doesn't mean that you should put too much weight behind that statement. But here's my biggest suggestion through all of it. Regardless of whether forward-looking returns for the 60-40 portfolio are 5%, 7%, 9%, whatever they are, here is my biggest suggestion. Get off the 60-40 portfolio mindset. It's potentially a good portfolio, but can it possibly be the best thing for everyone? No, absolutely not. Yet the 60-40 portfolio is kind of like that anchor portfolio that so many people focus on. And so many people think that, okay, I'm getting close to retirement or in retirement, I'm just going to do the 60-40 portfolio. There's articles about it. There's papers about it. It's almost like it's this magical thing. And there's some really strong benefits to it, but it's not magic. And it's definitely not the best thing for everyone. Now, I'm a big fan of goal-based planning and goal-based investing. What does that mean practically? Well, it means being intentional about what you're doing instead of just following the rules of thumb, or instead of just following what your brother-in-law's doing or what your friend told you about. And there's several examples of this. You know, example is, what if you're saving for retirement? Well, you should save 15% to retirement is maybe a rule of thumb. And it's not necessarily a bad rule of thumb, but how much should you actually be doing? Well, depending on when you're starting and how much you want to live on and what your risk tolerance is and a number of different variables, if 15% isn't enough, then you're not going to have the retirement you want. If 15% is higher than it needs to be, then you may be unintentionally sacrificing experiences and flexibility and enjoyment today for something that's really not necessary. So is 15% bad? No, not at all. And it's a great place to start if you don't know where else to start, but it's not uniquely yours. Now, in the same way with investments, should you have a 60-40 portfolio? Maybe, but why? Well, James, you just told us about the incredible returns that it's had over the last 90-100 years. Why, what about that? Well, it has had great returns, but so has a 70-30 portfolio or 80-20 portfolio or even a 100-0 portfolio. And in fact, all of those have been superior to a 60-40 portfolio. Sure, the 60-40 portfolio has been a little bit smoother, but is our goal a smoother experience, or is our goal to attain everything that's most important to us? Really, if you ask yourself, what's important to you? What do I commonly hear? I hear time with family. I hear travel and experiences. I hear maintaining a healthy lifestyle. I hear giving back and volunteering. I hear legacy. You know what I never hear people say is one of their top life goals? They never say, James, one of my top goals in life is to maintain a better risk-adjusted return and lowered volatility offered by a 60-40 portfolio. But somehow this portfolio has hijacked our mental space to be the be-all end-all for a lot of people. We become obsessed with it because it's one of those rules of thumb, in the same way that we become obsessed with hitting a certain savings rate or obsessed with following certain rules that can be healthy when used appropriately, but are never fully and truly yours. It's an easy thing to focus on. And again, it's not necessarily bad. Ask yourself, is it right for you? So how do you find the right portfolio for you? Well, that's maybe a topic for another day to fully flesh out, and in several past episodes I've done so, but you have to ask yourself, how much do I need in growth assets to outpace inflation and maintain my standard of living over time? You also have to ask yourself, how much do I need in stable assets for current consumption if there's a market downturn or for short-term needs? You have to ask yourself, how much discomfort does the stock market cause you? How can you balance your portfolio to a level that you're comfortable with? So is the end result a 60-40 portfolio? Maybe, but in many cases, it's not. So in conclusion, what will the 60-40 portfolio return going forward? Well, there's no way to predict with certainty. Over the past almost 100 years, it's averaged right around 8.8%. Vanguard estimates it will grow by about 7% going forward, but it will depend upon a number of factors in a very uncertain world. My suggestion, find the allocation that matches your goals. Disregard the 60-40 portfolio for a second. If after going through the exercise you need to go through to determine your specific allocation, you end up at a 60-40 portfolio, well then wonderful. That happens to be the best portfolio for you. But it's certainly not going to be the case for everyone. Find the allocation that matches your goals, matches your needs, matches your comfort level, instead of being overly consumed with the industry standard 60-40 portfolio. All right. Well, that is it for today. Thank you very much for the question. I think that is an important planning point to consider. What returns can we expect going forward? And if you have not already done so, be sure to check out our YouTube page. There's a lot of content there that supplements what we're doing here in the podcast. That can be found at Root Financial Partners. It's the name of the YouTube channel. Lots of great stuff there. So be sure to subscribe. If you haven't already done so, make sure that you're subscribed to this podcast. Well, I know a lot of people tune in, will listen to an episode here or there, but make sure you're subscribed so that every single week, on Tuesday, a new episode is released and you'll be notified as that comes out. And finally, if you have a friend or a family member or a coworker or anyone that you think would benefit from the information on this podcast, I would really appreciate it if you share this podcast with them. The goal is to reach as many people as possible, spread the message to as many people as possible, and that's all done through people like you that listen, find value, and then share that value with others. So I really appreciate you listening, and I'll see you all next time. Thank you for listening to another episode of the Ready for Retirement podcast. If you're enjoying the show, please subscribe and let me know by leaving a 5-star review. And as always, for a list of the notes and the resources mentioned in today's episode, you can find those at the Ready for Retirement website, which is readyforretirement.co. That's readyforretirement.co. And if you have a question that you would like for me to answer on a future episode, then you can also go to the Ready for Retirement website, readyforretirement.co. There's a page called Submit Your Question where you can submit a question for me to answer on a future episode. Thanks as always for listening, and I'll see you next time. Hey everyone, it's me again for the disclaimer. Please be smart about this. Before doing anything, please be sure to consult with your tax planner or financial planner. Nothing in this podcast should be construed as investment, tax, legal, or other financial advice. It is for informational purposes only.